I am a caregiver, and in my job I'm a professional caregiver, and in my life I'm a personal caregiver. I am caring for my mother who has Parkinson's disease, my father who is a caregiver. We're all helping him be a better caregiver and a healthy caregiver. And then my mother-in-law who's doing well. She just had some minor surgery, but her husband, my father-in-law, is in a nursing home full-time for the last over 2 years. It's constant, so it never stops. And so on the weekends, I'm trying hard with my husband to do the rest, relaxation, and respite. I'm trying to do it more and more consciously. Fitness is my thing, fitness and dog walking, and every day doing some kind of fitness or exercise for myself. I've been told, you know, that's my kind of relaxation slash therapy. And if I don't do that, I get like very lethargic, just unhealthy eating and very low energy, that if I don't pay attention to my own self-care, then I'm going to not be a good caregiver. I'm going to be grouchy, I'm going to be tired, I'm going to be emotional, and I'm not going to be effective or productive.
This caregiver dealing with all these issues is very common. What isn't common is that this caregiver is also a geriatric care manager, or a GCM, also known as a Aging Life Care Advisor, ALCA, and she's helped many families with these kind of issues. What is a GCM and an ALCA? How does she go about balancing and helping others and her own family? You'll be surprised with the answer. We'll cover that and much more in this two-part series. This is episode 7 of the Raising Rents, as in Parents, podcast.
Hello, Rents.
That's Anastasia. She's my 22-year-old daughter. My wife, Phyllis, and I think we did a pretty decent job of raising her. She goes around and calls us Rents. But you know what? I'm all right with that, because one day she's going to be raising us. And just wait and see what I'm going to be calling her. My name is Zach Demopoulos. I'm your host, and welcome to the Raising Rents podcast. Raising Rents is a show about everything you need to know in raising your parents or an aging adult. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Stick around until the end of this episode, when we will also answer a question from one of our listeners. A question that you may very well be asking yourself. I'll give you a teaser. The question is about a parent who's reluctant to move out of state so one of their kids can take care of them. Ooh, that's going to be a good one. This show is made possible by the support of Comfort Care. Comfort Care is a national home care provider, and they truly help you live your best life possible.
I'm a professional clinical social worker, and I am a care manager, and I'm a mother and a daughter and a wife and a friend and a relative. And so right now I have two kids out of high school and college now in their 20s. And my husband and I take care of, each of us have a set of parents that are aging and having some struggles, and my dog. So I recently got a new dog. As my kids were in college, my dog
died.
That's
Wendy Sabin.
From kindergarten,
she wears a lot of hats. She has a lot of experience personally and professionally as a caregiver and working with caregivers. She has run caregiver support groups, worked in senior communities. She now has her own practice and has a part-time care manager working for her. I've known her for over 6 years, working together in the elder care industry. I know her very well, and also know that we are both big dog lovers.
She's an English Golden, and she's great. And my friends all make fun of me because they say I'm a maniac about my dog. But now the dog comes with me to work. I take my dog to work with me. She comes.
But more about Sophie in part 2 of episode 8. Let's hear now more about Wendy's experiences.
And we recently moved. I launched myself out of my home of raising my kids in Montclair, New Jersey. And then I moved up to Cedar Grove to a different type of style of home, because I saw myself aging in place as a young person, and I wanted to sort of try something new. I kind of, because of the line of work that I'm in as a geriatric care manager and a social worker, I see just all of the life, the trajectory of life, and the different ages and stages of life. And as a caregiver, I felt myself getting very overwhelmed and burnt out in my really, really old house. And so I said to myself, I didn't want to wait much longer. And I just decided recently. We just decided to move, and it was probably the best thing in our 50s that we could have ever done. So we moved young, and it just happened recently.
I don't think there are many of us that would make a move this early. We're too busy running around and worrying about everyone else and our jobs. And personally, I don't think I would want to get that uncomfortable in this stage of my life. What gave Wendy that ancillary insight? Could it be her experience as a geriatric care manager or GCM? And by the way, what is a GCM?
As a geriatric care manager, I'm an LCSW, a licensed clinical social worker, and I'm a member of ALCA, Aging Life Care Advisor. It's an organization in the country that has what is called an aging life care advisor or a geriatric care manager. It's a similar term, and it's a new acronym for someone who's helping people as a healthcare navigator navigate through the stages of aging, whether it's for a loved one like a husband or a wife or a family member like a spouse, a partner. It could sometimes be an adult relative aging, helping a disabled adult who's aging, but not necessarily geriatric. Mine is more in the geriatric community.
I went to the ALCA website, which you'll find a link to it in our show notes on our website, www.raisingrents.com. The ACLA felt in 2012 that the term care manager and even geriatric care manager no longer adequately communicates the profession as practiced by its members. Although their profession has been around for 30 years, the term care managers has been appropriated by any number of service providers. The association feels there's simply no other profession or practitioner doing what their members do, which is the profession of aging life care. But what does that look like? I asked Wendy, how does someone find you and why does someone feel they need your services?
People, you know, find us on the internet. They find us through, a lot of it is by word of mouth, through networking and through the community in this, you know, Essex County area where I grew up and I live. And so that's sort of by word of mouth, just how people call me. And they usually call me when they're in crisis and they say, I don't really know what you do, but what do you do and how can you help me? And so I basically share with them that you can make a lot of mistakes on your own, but before you make all those mistakes, we could talk about what are some of the next steps here so that they can stop struggling and have a better plan. And I set up a care plan for them with navigating the steps over the next few weeks and then over the next few months. And then I stay with them if they need me. And if they want me, I visit them, the family member, once a month. That's what I do. And then if they need me more, I do more for them. But I'm thinking about some of my own clients in my own practice who have, you know, developed. I basically think that a lot of it can be mental health and caregiver burnout that I see. A lot of people that are having mental health issues like distress, depression, not to say weight issues or being overweight, but people that aren't exercising, people that aren't doing, there's a lot of self-neglect in my own personal opinion as to when people call me, they call a care manager, they call me, and then I start to see all the things in their lives that are unraveling because they've been trying to overmanage and personally caregive for their loved ones simply by themselves without a lot of professional, maybe not the right doctors, maybe not the right aides, maybe not the right facility, not the right, you know, preparation or financial plan. So they're literally, sometimes they're literally falling apart. And I see it often more from a mental health perspective, you know, right away.
So what do you do for them?
As you're asking me what I do for my clients is the same thing simultaneously that I'm doing for my own family and for my own parents and for my own in-laws. So it's sort of like I'm often, very often, like sandwiched not only between a sandwich generation of my parents and my adult kids that are grown now and becoming more independent, but sandwiched almost within my own career, my own professional life, where I'm caring for my clients and then simultaneously I'm caring for my parents. So just as an example, I too have now hired a care manager to manage my mother's life with my father, who's wonderful, and we have a care manager that helps my in-laws manage their life so that they each have their own care manager coach.
What? Did you hear that? That was pretty surprising to me. Wendy is a GCM, an aging care life advisor herself, yet she felt the need to hire someone like herself for her own family. You don't hear that very often. I have to say, that is quite some self-awareness for her to do that. I'm wondering, did something trigger that event?
Yeah, so that's a good story. So I did do that role at the beginning a couple of years ago, and there was a situation where we were all down the shore at our beach house, and my mother had a part-time helper at the time, a part-time private aide, and there was some problems with her medication, and she was my mom has Parkinson's disease for 10 years, and she was diagnosed at 70, and now she's approaching 80. So in that moment down the shore, we were all there. There was a lot of relatives and chaos, and it was not going well. And I was kept saying to my dad, oh, we're going to get her this. We're going to get her an aid. And at one moment, she actually fell that weekend, and it just was kind of bad. It was really bad. And I realized at that moment that I couldn't do it alone. And that's when I said to my dad, I looked at him, and I got very upset. And I said, Dad, I can't do this anymore, and I'm not going to do it anymore. And, you know, I'm going to get a little emotional now. Yeah, so that's when I decided we're hiring a care manager. It was like a moment of burnout.
So I have to ask you out there, listeners, has this happened to you? Or have you been in a room when it was someone else having a burnout session in front of you with their parents? And what happens when there are other family dynamics like siblings? I remember when we had to sit down with mom to get some help for dad, and my brother and sister and I were not only exhausted with them, but we were getting exhausted with each other, and that's not good. I asked Wendy, what happened next?
Yeah, so that was a day my dad sort of noticed I was getting very upset, and I really started crying, and that's when it really came through that he's like, you know what, you can't do this anymore. He said, you can't do this anymore. You can't do this for your mother. You can't do this for me, because I was starting to boss him around and tell him what to do and come in strongly with all these suggestions, and it was too much. It was just too much for me. The role reversal was very critical, and it was upsetting, and it was also, I had to be more careful, and it was too emotional, and it wasn't becoming productive, and we were getting grouchy with each other. And sometimes, like with me, and you know, I have sisters, two sisters, and sometimes we get like, how can I say, what's that word? A little.
I know what she's going to say. I see it all the time.
Bickering. It's like a bickering. Normal siblings and bickering, and we don't need to spend our life bickering with each other about things. So we sort of prefer to transfer that decision making and suggestion making onto this care manager who's been amazing. Her name is Lisa, and she's amazing. And so we just say, when we have a feeling or a thought or a worry, we then just pass it on to Lisa. We call her or we email her and we say, Lisa, look, I think we need this, this, and that. And so that's been helpful.
That is such great advice. But wait, there's more. And this is the one that is tough to chew and balance when caring for your parents.
And another thing that I learned actually in my journey as a caregiver and as a care manager was this woman who said to me, she's like 86 years old, she's my client, and I just said, your daughter's worried about you. And she just said, you know what? And I said, and I know, and I'm also worried about my mother, and we talk a lot because she just wants to talk about other things. She doesn't want to talk about herself. And she said to me, you know, all you daughters, you worry so much about us. She said, stop worrying. When we need you, we'll call you. If we fall, we'll call you. If something happens, we'll call you. Don't be in our business every single day, worrying about us every single day. Stop worrying. And she said that to me, and she really hit home with me. She really taught me to, you know what, like every day, just go on with my life, keep busy with my life, do what we need to do, and stop worrying about our parents all the time, because they're fine. And if they're not fine, they'll let us know.
Let's now ask Wendy to give her insight into the question one of our listeners had asked. That question is, how do you handle a parent who is reluctant to move out of state so their kids or one of their kids can take care of them because they're afraid to leave the doctors they have established a good relationship with?
Okay, so that's a good question. That actually happens to me almost 100% of my callers that, you know, my family clients that call me is because they're usually calling me when there's been an incident or a crisis or something, a transition, and the family member, like the son or the daughter, is stepping in and saying, mom or dad or loved one, we need to do something different. We need to try something different. It is never, ever the aging parent that calls me. It's always the adult child that calls me. It's always the adult relative who calls me, because mom or dad usually is really 100% just kind of staying in place and comfortable. So you need to start with reassurance and good listening. And in that situation, I would, if the person's out of state and they're kind of trying to get them to move, I would consult with a care manager in place, who that care manager will come over and have a conversation with the loved one, with the aging parent, and say, we're going to help you get from, let's say, the state of Maryland to the state of New Jersey. We're going to help you. It's going to be a process. It's not going to happen in 1 week. It could take a few months. But with regards to this, when the parents are stubborn and just don't know the resources, or they're fearful, they need reassurance. They need professional advice and guidance. And then when they do relocate, that's when if they are going, let's say, from one state to another, the New Jersey care manager, be it someone like myself in this community, they get them ahead of time. All their medical records gets transferred. All the specialists exist in other states and other communities. And then everything is lined up, and they have a doctor's appointment waiting for them right when they move here. And the resources are all lined up before they move. So, and then
let's recap. This is really important. So, have conversations early with your parents about a potential move down the road, and don't wait for an incident to occur. Reassure them it's going to be okay. Be a good listener. Perhaps use the services of a professional like a GCM. Let them know this is going to take some time. It's not going to be overnight. It's not going to happen in a week. Things that could cause somebody to be fearful and have anxiety. Okay, let's get back to Wendy.
You have to do it in stages, and with a little bit of patience and perseverance and professional help at both ends. And in the odd case that the person absolutely just won't move, that's then the situation where the adult child has to hire a care manager to take care of their parents in a different state. I just always try and listen to them and talk to them about their fears. And their fears are usually very much based on history and routine and worry. And a lot of my clients do have some memory impairment or cognitive impairment. So it's often just reassurance. And, you know, they're afraid they're not going to find new doctors. They're afraid. You know, then we try and turn it around and talk about how it will be nice to see more of the children. It could be nice to really see more of the grandchildren. And having them living closer to their worried sons or daughters, it might not mean that they're so disabled that they can't be alone, but it just might be that their children are so worried about them all the time that they can't concentrate at work, or they can't concentrate in their life, that it's just going to be better to live closer together. And that's often what happens. It's that the family members are the ones calling me to try and make a change to make things better. I think you have to respect their independence and their self-determination and their autonomy. And that's what I'm learning more and more, even with my own parents. You know, I speak about my parents or other people's parents, is they have to really respect the fact that if someone's able to make their day-to-day decisions and pick and choose what they want to do, what they want to wear, where they want to go, when they want to go there, you just need to back off a little and just respect and learn to embrace the strengths of that person's ability to have self-determination and continue to live their lives the way they want to. And then if, God forbid, someone falls down the steps or trips or has an injury, hurts their hip or hurts their head, you know, they'll call you. And I think that also being with the seniors that I work with, also just learning to listen and to respect their wishes and talking about their memories and having some giggles and laughs about their past, and always accenting their strengths and trying to point out all the wonderful things they've done in their life. And they're for the women and men that I work with that are not cognitively impaired, they're very, very afraid. They're very afraid, they're worried. They're constantly afraid and worried to be either left alone, to be left with no money, to be spending too much money that they then have no money left. And most of them that are aging in place are just very fearful all of the time. And in that case, they can also become very anxious, which is where sometimes the doctor has to get involved with, you know, medication. Sometimes they're having trouble sleeping or eating or having too much anxiety and worry. And, you know, it can become a huge problem for the senior citizen, you know, who's aging in place alone.
Thank you for listening to Raising Rents. Join us for part two in our next episode as Wendy continues to share her experience and knowledge about how a GCM or ALCA can help you walk the fine line in caring for your parents. We'll talk about community resources like food delivery services and veteran benefits. We'll talk more about what a GCM or ALCA can offer, where to look to hire one, and what questions to ask to find the right one for your family. We'll also talk about Wendy's great dog, Sophie, and how she is studying to be a therapy dog. By the way, if you have feedback, resources to share, a question to ask, or a great story, please go to our website, www.raisingrents.com, and send us a note. I would love to hear from you. And if you like our show, please go on iTunes and write us a review. Have a great week, and remember, our parents raised us. The least we can do is help raise them. Talk to you later.